Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Sun Guy with you like usual. Would like to remind you today, if you're looking for some wrestling, KDW happening there in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. And up in our neck of the woods, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling featuring the gigantic grudge match to end all grudge matches tonight. Kevin Brandt, one-on-one with Paul Moonshine. That's really happening tonight. But I would like to welcome to the show our guest, her first time with us. We will try to be gentle. Welcome to the show, Christy Jones.
Hello.
Well, Christy, it's great having you on the show today. We have shared a locker room or two in our day, but for the fans that are not familiar, you are one of the finer officials in the state of Indiana. And since it's your first time with us, you get the first-timer's question. What led to you getting into the wrestling business?
Well, thank you for having me on this. I'm excited about it. I got into wrestling with my uncle, Johnny Eagle. I followed him all over the place, and it became my passion for wrestling. And then I came back in 2010, and I haven't left since.
What was it about the business that you saw when you were going around with your uncle that made you want to adopt it as a profession?
The excitement, the thrill, the fans, just how everyone reacted to the wrestlers being in the ring, and it was an enjoyment for me as a kid growing up, and I've never forgot it. I have so many memories back from when I was a kid, and so to be a part of it now, it's amazing. It's something I talk about all the time.
Now, obviously, you were around your uncle who was in the business, but when you decided to break in, who was it that actually formally taught you how to be a referee?
The boss, Don Basher. He called me up, and because I was wanting to train for wrestling, and I just with things the way they were, I wasn't able to. So he asked if I liked to be a referee, and I said yes, and I trained for it, and I worked hard, and I learned something new every time I got in the ring, and I got better and better each time. But Don Basher is the reason why I was able to step in that ring and become a referee.
One of the legendary figures in all of Indiana independent wrestling, of course, Don Basher. Now,
yes, he's awesome.
You've been sort of in a unique position. There's several of us around, but you're definitely one of them that have seen the progression of that family. Started with Don Basher, of course, and along came his son, the Indiana Kid Jr., later known, of course, as JKO. And then the third generation of that family, Jonathan Wolf, in the last few years breaking in, becoming phenomenal. Traveling everywhere now, what's it been like watching that family as we're now on the third generation?
Well, I've learned so much from JKO. I've grown, you know, to the family, my wrestling family. They're amazing. I get help from them if I need it for, like, any special reason for if I have questions about reffing or anything. And watching Jonathan grow to who he is today, I mean, when I first met him, he wasn't really doing, you know, wrestling or anything. But now, look, you know, watching him the way he is now, I'm proud of him. He's came a long way. And the Owen family, they're a strong group of people. And they, you know, welcomed me in their life, and they helped me, and they're amazing. And if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't be in the wrestling business and, you know, as happy as I am now. I work hard.
You've obviously been in the ring with all three of them. All three of them very, very different as far as wrestling goes. They have different styles, different tendencies. Just watching them perform, you wouldn't necessarily know that they're related. When you're in there with them, do you find yourself kind of noticing any similarities as far as things that they do in the ring that would indicate to yourself that, yeah, they're definitely related? Or do you see them as three totally separate individuals in that ring that doesn't necessarily have the same type of wrestling as far as what the fans are going to see?
For this, I'd have to say they're all different. I don't see much of a similarity. I've been in the ring with all three of them many times, but I honestly noticed them all like the same, which is a good thing too. You know, when I'm in there, I notice something different about each and every one of them, or any wrestler, I pay a good attention, close attention of how their moves are, how they respond, how they are with the fans, and they're all different. They're all different.
We referenced Jonathan, but he's one of many really talented young wrestlers, not only in WCWO, but in the state of Indiana in general. There's so much outstanding young talent out there. Who are some of the young guys that are just getting started, or got in when they were so young that it feels like they're still just getting started, that you think are going to be superstars in this industry?
I don't know all of them, but I have to say Sean Kemp, Cole Radrick, Ace Perry. They're young, you know, they're still young, but they're younger when they started out. And they all come a long way as well. And I'm proud of all of them. I mean, it takes guts and it takes a lot of strength and training to where they are right now. And, you know, I think it's awesome where, you know, they started young, because they can go really far in life.
Everyone you named, absolutely outstanding. I think you're spot on with those predictions. Now, being a referee, a lot of fans don't necessarily appreciate everything that the referee does in a match. A very good referee can help a bad match look a little bit better. A bad referee can make a good match seem much worse. When you're in there, what are some of the things that you do that you think a lot of fans and even some of the people in the industry are not necessarily going to think that you're doing in there to make the show what it is?
Well, most fans, you know, see the referee as the bad guy because they're not, working with the ones they like. When I go out in the ring, I just do my job. I call what I'm supposed to call. I do what I'm supposed to do. I try to enjoy it as long as, you know, while I'm out there the whole time with them. Most fans always see the referees as the bad guys, no matter what we do, how we do it, who we're talking you know, not talking, I'm sorry. I'm just, normally most of the referees are bad guys. Sometimes we're the good guys, but none of the fans are going to agree with the referee. Either way, because it's not what they're wanting. If their favorite wrestler lost, they're going to boo the ref saying we cheated them out. You know, I just got to go out there and do my job and make sure I'm calling what I see and following what I'm supposed to, you know. I can't really make the fans happy. They're going to be mad at the referee no matter what.
I'm sure that in the course of your career, you've had some interesting conversations with fans relating to what they perceived you having missed in a match, or maybe imploring you to do things a little bit differently in the ring. What's been the most interesting conversation to date?
Are you talking about from a fan or a wrestler?
From the fan's perspective.
I've talked to a few fans, and one particular really never had anything bad to say about me. They actually still want me to come back. They want me, you know, they had a few, the same people in the group, they send me messages saying how great I am, and they wish I was coming back. But one of the fans, you know, they really don't tell me what I do wrong or anything. They just tell me to keep it up, keep up the good work, keep being strong. And the encouragement is what I like. I like being encouraged. And when the fans like me that well and cheer me on when I come out, it makes me feel good and makes me want to go, you know, just keep going. I don't want to let down the fans, but also, you know, I understand why they're there. So,
now, one of the more unfortunate things about our business is the natural part of wrestling when injuries occur. It's going to happen, not every show, of course, but from time to time you are going to see injuries occur. No referee wants to be in there when someone gets a pretty major injury, but it does happen. What's some of the injuries that you've witnessed being in the ring?
I've witnessed broken ankles. I've witnessed someone, you know, bleeding. I've also been hurt. So I witnessed chain matches, thumbtack matches, ladder matches, and table matches. I mean, there's a lot of people that get hurt, and it's rough being a ref and watching it because you feel bad, but also, being a ref, I've been hurt where I've had to go get checked out of the hospital, you know, and it's a serious thing and it's dangerous, you know. You can't expect not to get hurt in the ring. Anybody could get hurt in the ring, but I've seen someone break their ankle, and it's tough. It's rough to watch, especially when you're in the ring with, you know, the workers. It's like when I have people ask me about it, you know, just people get hurt. I said, yes, it's a contact sport. People get hurt, and I've witnessed it. And it's scary, but I just got to keep going.
The next time someone asks you that, if you like, I could supply you with some of the x-rays of the ankle I have with 7 screws and a plate in it.
Yeah, I mean, It's to be honest, when people ask me, when they find out I'm a referee, and they're like, oh, well, you know, they want to know all this information, and I only tell them what I can tell them, and they just think, you know, no one really gets hurt, and it's all said and done. But I'm like, you know, I can show them my records, too, because I've been pulled by the hair. I've been kicked, slapped, thrown in the ring. You know, people get hurt, and I just don't think a lot of people realize how dangerous it can be and how real people do get hurt.
You mentioned having to go to the hospital, get checked out, and referees definitely can get hurt. Tommy Young was one of the better referees ever in our industry. He had to walk away due to a very severe neck injury. When you're injured in a match as the referee, what's going through your mind, and is it something that you feel you need to get out of the ring at that point, or do you find a way to keep going?
Both. I find a way to keep going. In my mind, I'm like really worried about that person, hoping that they're okay, but also have the rest of, you know, I still got to finish my match. I've got to stay in there. And then when I'm done, I go and check on them. I can't just drop my other wrestlers to go check on somebody else when there's other people that's going to be able to, you know, work with them. It scares me, but I still get back in the ring each time, every week. I take the chance. But I'm very concerned when someone does get hurt because they have families, you know.
No, I'm sorry for my broken ankle, but I was fine. Some guy always comes back later on. He's always fine.
Well, that's good.
Now, one of the things that is related to that that has been kind of a red-hot button issue in not only wrestling but all contact sports the last few years is concussions. We've learned a lot more in the last 5 to 10 years about concussions and the long-term effects of them and what they can actually do. Do you think anything can be and or should be done to monitor concussions on the independent professional wrestling level?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say if someone has a concussion, they would at least take a week off to try to, you know, get better instead of trying to get in the ring and getting hurt even worse, where it could be worse than a concussion. It puts more stress on themselves. But they're also their own person. If they want to take the chance to get in the ring with a concussion, you know, they're going to do it. It just scares me because anybody that gets hurt anyway and then gets right back in without taking time, it could make it worse. But, you know, it's dangerous. But, you know, there's nothing I really can say about it. Besides, you know, I wish they'd take more time to get themselves better and then get back in the ring and make sure the doctor's okay with it so they don't overdo themselves or hurt themselves more.
Very interesting thing one time. There was a wrestler that had a concussion and a brain contusion at the same time. The only address he could remember was 1151 South Kentucky Avenue, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yes.
True story. Couldn't even remember his home address, but he knew that one like nobody's business.
That's pretty good.
It happens.
Yeah.
Now, recently at WCWO, there's been an influx of some of the legendary figures out of Indiana's history. Of course, Don Basher always has been a regular fixture there, but Bobo Brazil Jr. has recently come back to WCWO. The manager, Sal Creechman, has ended a 30-year semi-retirement to come back to WCWO. Quicksilver has come out of wherever Quicksilver was hiding to return to WCWO for the first time in probably 20 years. What's your opinion on all these legendary figures of the past coming back through WCWO in the last few weeks?
I think it's amazing. I think it's great that they're coming back. I'm glad they're all getting together, putting on a good show. I think it's awesome. All those men are really great guys, and I think it's great that we have legends, you know, making their way back, supporting our fans, and I just think it's great. It'd be awesome, you know, if they come all the time. You know, I just think it's amazing.
Another aspect there in Indianapolis that is always good to see when they are able to do this is women's wrestling. They've had a lot of great female talent pass through the doors there at the Outlaw Arena. One of them recently returned and came back in a major way, that being Randy West. When you're in there with some of the women that come into WCWO, being a female yourself, do you see things a little bit differently than the traditional male versus male match? Do you look at the female competitors the same, or is there a little bit of a different spin on it when you have women in the Outlaw Arena?
As my experience with both, I treat them both the same. There's a little bit more I call out when I'm with the women, though, but I don't see much of a difference. I when I go out there, even if it's male or female, I do the same as I do with either of them. So, and it's great.
Now, when you're doing intergender matches, if you've done any in your career, is that something that you enjoy doing, or do you have any personal preferences on not doing it or doing it? Because I know it's sort of a controversial topic in wrestling these days.
I don't mind it. I learned to deal with it, like work with it. I've been in about every match possible. So being in a match with them, you know, with something like that, doesn't bother me any. It, even if, like, I've done it only a couple times, I've just learned from it and I work with it. I don't have much to say about it because I don't judge. Like, I don't have much of an opinion about any matches I ever do. I just go out there and, you know, I have fun doing it. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm in a match, I don't care what kind of match, I'm happy about it. I'll take a challenge.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know the QT has some questions, so does this help you as I pass things over to QT for a bit?
That's fine.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Christy.
Hello.
Christy, do you prefer outdoor matches with natural sunlight or indoor matches with indoor lighting?
I like the indoor because if it's raining or snowing, you know, I'm not getting rained on like I have before. But I also like the outdoor, too. Both of them are fun to do. But being indoor, though, like during the winter, you know, if it's raining, snowing, you know, the show does go on. And if it's an outdoor and the sun shines, you know, great. But if it starts raining or thundering, the show stops. And when the show stops, there's nothing. And so I prefer to be indoor, but also like being outdoor certain occasions.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you ever been to an outdoor match in Indiana where it started snowing?
No. No.
But
that'd be different for me, but no, I never have.
Oh, okay. How about, have you ever had a match in Indiana, outdoors, where you could see dark storm clouds approaching and the commissioner calls the match to tear down the ring to protect the lumber?
Not that I recall. I've been in a match where it rained the whole time, like the whole time, the show. So we never had a tear down because of a storm, but thunder and lightning. We stayed up while it rained the whole time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Christy, did you have an athletic background in high school? And if so, was that athletic background either in volleyball or track and field?
No, I was a color guard girl.
I didn't get that. What?
I was in a band. I was a color guard member. I did the flags.
Marching band.
Okay,
all right. Oh, all right,
yeah.
A marching band. Very good. All right. Now, do you yourself play a musical instrument?
I tried guitar once.
Oh, okay. All right. Bass or rhythm? Bass or rhythm guitar?
rhythm.
Okay. Have you ever seen a wrestler carry a guitar to the ring and use it as a foreign object?
No.
All right. Well, Christy, I saw you on the YouTube video called Dom A Nation versus Jay Maddox. Was this the first time you had refereed a match between a wrestler from Rhode Island and a wrestler from Portland, Oregon?
I believe so. I remember that match. It's really entertaining. I've had a lot of matches in my day, but that was the first match I had with both of them too, which was really fun. So that, and they're really fast, and, you know, it's fast-paced, which I liked.
Yes, they were more of a cruiserweight in build, yes. Kind of like near the 190-pound limit, yes. Maybe not Domination, but Jay Maddox was. Now, Christy, when you were growing up in your household, did you have any brothers and sisters that you had backyard matches with? And if so, were you in the role of the babyface or heel?
When we were younger, if we were ever in the ring, was in the ring with my uncle, and he had the ring out in Indianapolis with most of the guys from some of the guys from WCWO. They'd do get-togethers and play around. That was the only time me and my siblings ever really wrestled around like that. But normally I was the bad guy.
Okay, you were the heel.
I was
okay.
A heel. Yep, I was a heel.
Now, if so, did you have the heel role on a sister of yours that was similar in age?
I'm the youngest of the group, and my family. I was always a heel, no matter what, with my sister. So, but it was fun. It was a fun thing to do, good experience, and I won't forget it.
Oh, all right. Well, now, as a younger sister, you were probably smaller in stature. Did you ever use a foreign object like a plastic Hot Wheel track on your sister to gain an advantage?
No.
Okay.
I didn't want to get in trouble, so no.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Christy, on the PBS show Ultimate Homes Hawaii, the host of the show interviewed a man who lived on the northernmost island of Lanai, and he was 20 minutes from the world's wettest spot on Earth that, on average, received 400 inches of rain a year. That much humidity plus the near year-round 70-degree temperatures are very hard on homes to control mold. So he had the walls of his house built with basalt and powdered marble from Italy, which is very hard to grow mold on. My question is, have you ever been a referee in a wrestling venue that was poorly constructed and may have had a leaky roof and thus had small pockets of mold, which you duly pointed out to the commissioner?
If I would have seen it, I would have. But any place I've ever been at, it's been really nice and decent, so.
Oh, okay. So then it's like the Outlaw Arena doesn't have walls made up of basalt and powdered marble.
What do you mean? Like it's concrete?
Oh, okay, concrete, okay. All right. I'm just saying that concrete, hopefully it has a lot of rebarb and steel beams to counteract the mold that is known in Indiana. Yes, that's my concern. Okay. All right. Well, Christy, also on TV this morning was Japanese businessman and lighting specialist Kenzo Nakamura. He has been running his restaurant and home lighting company for 25 years. He has a saying that there is comfort and solace in shadow and subdued lighting. He also combined circular, square, and rectangular windows for a zen lighting effect. My question is, have you yourself heard of the Japanese light master Kenzo Nakamura, and do you think he could help the atmosphere through light at the WCWO Outlaw Arena?
I wish I could answer that, but I really don't know who that person is. I've heard of him, but I'm not really sure how I can answer that, so I apologize.
No, okay. Well, it's just that I have also been to the Outlaw Arena on one occasion when I flew in from the West Coast, and I see in this video Domination versus Jay Maddox that they have a particularly subdued lighting, pretty good lighting over the ring, but once you get like about 5 feet past the ring, it's plunged into shadow and darkness.
Okay.
I believe that you could maybe get in contact with businessman and lighting specialist Kenzo Nakamura and suggest to the WCWO commissioner how to improve your lighting.
I thought the lighting was pretty good, but I can always, talk to somebody, but the lighting was, when you're out in the audience, you can see everything just fine. So,
well, if it's too expensive to knock out some walls at the Outlaw Arena and combine Zen-like triangle, square, and round windows, would it be possible to find some Tiffany lamps on eBay and suspend them from a thin steel cable and an eye hook attached to the ceiling for better lighting in what I consider semi-darkness at the Outlaw Arena? Would that be possible?
Maybe it'd be possible. I'm not the person to, go through that, talk to you about, but yeah, it could be possible.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Christy, both Steinbeck and myself often travel down to Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, Oregon, and they have a pretty good concession stand that sometimes serves up chicken fried steak, mashed potatoes, and green beans. Well, Japanese lighting specialist Kenzo Nakamura was hired by a Japanese restaurant owner to improve the lighting in her restaurant by using a track rail lighting system and hard-to-find 3-millimeter LED incandescent bulbs. He was able to shine just the right amount of light that would enhance a seating area where the customer's plate of food would be. Well, Christy, I have to tell you, the lighting at the Blue Collar Wrestling concession stand is harsh and unforgiving in nature. My question is, after you hang up your zebra stripes, could you see yourself traveling the United States as an indie wrestling concession stand lighting specialist to improve the bottom line of concession stand sales at various wrestling venues or training academies?
That's a possible thing. I don't plan on ever giving it up, but it's possible.
Okay. Well, what's your favorite concession stand entree, yes, at the WCWO Outlaw Arena? What's your favorite?
Cheesy fries.
Whoa, okay. All right, cheesy fries, very good. Now, does that come with sour cream and bacon bits?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Christy, in that Domination versus Jay Maddox match, both wrestlers were in a neutral corner, and you started the 5 count to start the break. This happened right around the 350 mark, from what I remember. Now, I have seen referees that start a count, and each second lasts about 2 seconds. Thus, a 5 count to break would take 10 seconds. And I have seen some wrestlers that have exited the ring only to have a referee start a 10 count that have the count last as much as 22 seconds. But in your match with Domination and Jay Maddox, each second was cut down to about 8/10 of a second. Chronologically, you were fast. Christy, speaking of referee counts, be they slow or sometimes fast like yours, historians believe that Stonehenge is indeed an old Druid timepiece. I'm not sure if Stonehenge has ever been the timepiece for a wrestling match. Are there any truth to the rumors out of Shelton, Washington, that you yourself would like to referee a match at Stonehenge?
I don't have much of an answer at this moment. I have to think about it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, do you agree or have you been counseled on your fast count? Because your seconds are lightning quick, and I do believe that a second for you is 8/10 of a second. Because you were ripping those off. Yes.
Yeah, I've gotten better throughout the years, and I've gotten help with it, and I've slowed it down.
Okay.
So I've gotten
right.
better. I don't have any recent things. So.
Now, are there any truth to the rumors that you have gotten better? Because the WCWO commissioner provided you with a metronome to study. Metronome.
Yes, I've gotten 10 times better having the support and the training and working. So
okay.
I have to say I've gotten better.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Well, Christy, how important is footwear to a referee? Do you yourself have referee shoes that have non-slip rubber Vibram soles.
No, I just regular tennis shoes.
Oh, okay, regular tennis shoes, okay. All right, well, Christy, to my knowledge, or particularly in my neck of the woods, with WCWC, SCW, and BCW wrestling, no referee has come down to the ring with an animal mascot. My question is, why haven't you come down to the ring with a mascot? Say a dog that is a cross between a Springer Spaniel and a Dalmatian.
That never occurred to me to do that. So I don't know.
Well, I hope I can safely say that I planted a seed of thought there. Okay, very good. All right. Well, Christy, is this the next frontier to be realized in wrestling? The first lady rep to bring an animal mascot to the WCWO Outlaw Arena?
I don't know. I don't see it. That's possible.
All right. If Sign Guy were to adopt a mascot, could you see him come to the ring with a raven tethered to a pole?
That'd be neat to see, but the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to watch that.
Oh, okay. Well, we here at Turnbuckle Turmoil hope Sign Guy will take up this suggestion and buy a raven and attach it to a tether. That would be very good. All right. Well, Christy, if you could travel back in time to the 90s or early 2000s and you were given a choice to have a chance to be in the ring with either of these two wrestlers, which one would you choose, Scotty Too Hotty or Goldust?
Scotty Too Hotty.
Okay. As a wrestler at the WCWO Outlaw Arena that has a Scotty Too Hotty type personality ever invited you to do the worm or the Fargo strut in the ring?
The only person that's ever tried to do anything in the ring is Luke Bushwacker. He had me dancing in the ring.
He got you dancing in the ring, the Bushwacker? Oh, well, how did he do? How did you do? Good enough dance steps to make him happy? That's my question. Yes.
Well, I'm a serious person, and it takes a lot for someone just to get me to smile. Don Basher does, but he had me going, so it worked out really well. I try to, keep my profession, not smile and be serious, but sometimes you have to let loose. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Now, say if you could time travel back to the 90s or early 2000s, what if you were given a choice between Ric Flair or Kurt Angle? Which one would you rather be in the ring with?
Ric Flair, definitely.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, Christy, Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners how close the Shell Oil Lucas Stadium is to the Outlaw Arena?
I'm not sure how close, but you can see it from the building. You can walk out in the front, and there it is. There's a bridge, or not a bridge, there's a highway, and then I'd say it's a couple few blocks away from it.
Okay. To your knowledge, has any wrestling fan from the West Coast flown into Indiana, rented a car, and drove trying to find the Outlaw Arena and mistook it for the Shell Oil Lucas Stadium?
Not that I can recall right now. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, there's always a time for first. Wow. Okay. Well, I do appreciate, Christy, your questions and answers, especially about Japanese businessman Kenzo Nakasaki, or Nakamura. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and hopefully you will take up my consideration or suggestion and adopt a mascot yourself. I would really like to see that. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Christy, one of the big things in independent wrestling as a whole right now, and it's certainly true there at WCWO, tag team wrestling is always going to be a staple of any independent show. Do you like doing tag team wrestling as opposed to singles wrestling, or do you prefer the singles matches?
I prefer both, but if it's easier, I'll do just a singles match.
When you're going into a tag team match, do you have a different type of mindset as far as how you're going to approach the match and the things that you need to do as a referee compared to doing a singles match?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Sure. When you're going into a tag match, do you have a different approach on that match for what you're going to do as far as the role of the referee in a tag match as opposed to a singles match?
When I go in a tag match, I have a lot to focus on because I have four people, and it's a lot to concentrate on. So as opposed to a single match when I have a lot to focus on, but when I have a tag team, I have a lot more to do in a ring. So either one. I like either one. I like being a single and tag. So it keeps me busy, and it's good.
I mentioned a little bit ago the return of Sal Creechman as a manager to WCWO. There's always been managers there at Outlaw Arena, and they pose sort of a different thing for referees to consider during matches, be it tag or singles. Have you had much problems handling managers in the matches you've refereed?
No. I mean, the first time I ever did it, yes, but I got used to it, and no, I never had any problems with it.
Now, in the matches I've refereed, sometimes strange things come up during the course of a match, things that fans may not even recognize have happened will sometimes happen. Sometimes there's strange things that will go down, be it a wardrobe malfunction or a wrestler getting ill in the ring. Just strange things like that sometimes happen. What's the strangest thing that's happened to you during a match that fans probably didn't even pick up on having happened?
At this moment, I can't think of anything. I mean, I'll probably think of it later, but I don't know at this point.
One of the things that wrestlers have to be successful is conditioning. Some wrestlers get in there and they're not in the best cardiovascular shape, and after a couple of minutes they're starting to struggle. The referee is in far more matches usually than your average wrestler per show. How important in your mind is conditioning for the referees to be able to last like they do?
Just like any wrestler, you know, getting ready for it, you know, you're doing a lot of movement and, you know, your voice, you got to string your voice and everything. So we have to do it just as much as the workers do, getting ready for everything, trying to take a small break in between, drink plenty of water, you know, stuff like that.
Now, I know Outlaw Arena, for as long as they've been there, there's been some pretty emotional things, both positive and negative things, that have caused a lot of emotional scenes there at the Outlaw Arena. I'm sure you've been there for a lot of things when things got emotional, be it for the fans, for the wrestlers, or sometimes both. What would you say has been the most emotional moment that you've taken part of at WCWO?
I wish I could answer that too. I'm sorry. I don't really know. I mean, there's so much throughout the years I can't even pinpoint.
You know, for me, I think mine just the handful of times I've been able to perform there. Don Basher retiring 5 minutes before my match. I was pretty emotional.
I mean, I've been emotional a few times in the ring because, you know, it's hard work and I have my kids watching and everything, but just being there, it's just exciting.
We talked about the fans a little bit ago and some of the conversations you had with them. When you're in a ring performing, are you aware of specific fans and what they might be saying? Or when you're out there, does everything kind of blur together for you? I know a lot of people have different experiences as far as how they sense the fans and how they see the fans even during the course of a match.
I have selective hearing. I can hear, I step in the ring, I can hear each and every fan talk, and I can block them out and focus on my wrestlers. Every time I step in the ring, that's how it is. I can focus on, you know, certain things, and I can hear all the rest, like the fans talking, and it's really neat, but sometimes it's distracting, but I've learned how to do it.
We were talking injuries earlier in the show, but have you ever on the other end of that, have you ever thought that there is an injury to a wrestler and stopped a match when it wasn't totally necessary?
Can you say that again?
Have you ever been in a situation where you thought a wrestler had been seriously injured, so you put a stop to the match when it wasn't actually necessary? They weren't injured like you had thought?
Nope, I never stopped a match.
So it's an interesting day at the office if you ever do it, I can tell you that.
Sorry, I'm about to lose signal.
Oh, okay. Well, before you lose signal, you want to say anything to the fans, plug and promote anything that you have going on, let the fans know where they can find you?
I would just like to say I'll be back soon. I've just been taking some time off, had some surgeries, you know, trying to get my health better. But I appreciate the fans that have contacted me and ready for me to come back. I love them all. They're great, and I hope to come back soon as I can get it back on my feet.
All right. Well, Chrissy, thank you very much for taking time on this Sunday afternoon to talk with us. Hopefully I will see you relatively soon, share a locker room with you once again, and best of luck once you get back, get healthy.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Well, fans, get out there, support independent pro wrestling. Lots out there to support. A lot going on tonight. Kevin Brandt and Paul Moonshine in that big grudge match. Should be very interesting there at the North Portland Eagles tonight. Really quickly, QT, do you have a prediction?
I am throwing all my effort and, some say, under-the-table advice to Paul Moonshine. He and I see eye to eye, just like the honky-tonk man and the fans. Yes.
All right. Well, that being said, I will head down to Portland. Hopefully, we will see a lot of you there. Should be an outstanding show tonight. Also, that big strap match, DeMarcus James versus the Moonshiners, where fans have purchased lengths of strap as they take part as lumberjacks. That definitely should be interesting. So we will see you in North Portland tonight, and we'll talk to you next week.
And happy fruit pie delivery.